before we can even begin to know what God has ordained for 2019, we got to go back and remember what He said.
Amen.
We got to remember the promise, but we got to also remember the responsibility with the things of God. Amen.
Amen.
2019, that's the Gregorian calendar. And I hear so many people, what's God saying for 2019? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure He follows our calendar. And I'm not trying to put anything down, or please don't get me wrong. Listen, it's about knowing who God. People ask me, well, why do you study the Hebrew? It's not for intellect's sake. It's to know God.
Amen.
To hear His voice. See, if Berlinda calls me, we've talked, I know her voice. I got her on in my contacts. And it pops up, it says, it's Berlinda. And I know it's Berlinda. But see, I got to know God's voice that way.
Right.
Google ain't, if I got to depend on Google to tell me if it's God, we in trouble.
Right.
I don't know, is that God or not? Let me Google it. See, God is wanting to do something in the earth that He's never done before. He does. Because God doesn't just do what He did. He does what He does. And God wants to do what God does in the earth today. And we got to realize we are living in prophetic days. And as God was speaking to Jubilee this morning, listen, strength, our strength is not in numbers, it's in our unity. What does that mean? We have to all agree with one another doctrinally, theologically? No, we have to agree with God.
That's right.
We have to agree with the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, we all have different interpretations. No, I have found there's only one interpretation of the Scripture, and it's His.
That's right.
And if I differ from this, and there's some contradiction or confusion, it's probably not on God's. It's probably me. I'm willing to bet I've missed something. And God's wanting to do something in this hour, in this generation for the church. And when we go and we dig into the origins of our roots as a people, as a nation. Come on, we're a nation. We are a people. I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about the kingdom of God.
Yes.
The sons and daughters of the Most High.
Yes.
We got to think the way He thinks. And I hear folks talking about, well, God, Lord, send another Wigglesworth or this or that. Send another Billy Graham. Lord, Billy Graham's died. We need another Billy Graham. No. No. We need a Marvin Barham to step into that same anointing that Peter walked in. I want the fullness of that Holy Spirit that Timothy walked in, that Stephen walked in. God's looking for you to step into it.
That's right.
And fulfill that which He's ordained. Listen, there will never be another Billy Graham.
Amen.
Because the world He was born for no longer exists.
Jesus.
So each generation will need its portion of God's favor to reach its world and fulfill its sovereign assignment. God chooses you. Listen to this. God chooses you before He needs you. In order to prepare you for a world that does not yet exist. How many of you know who William Booth is? Founder of the Salvation Army. How many of you know when the Salvation Army was founded, they did more than stand out and ring bells? Do you know how the Salvation, anybody know how it was founded? A Holy Ghost encounter. the Holy Ghost fell. Listen to the words of the man who encountered the power of the Holy Ghost. And there was not a Baal anywhere involved. He said this, "The greatest danger to the next century will be religion without a Holy Ghost. It'll be Christianity without Christ. It'll be forgiveness without repentance and salvation without regeneration and transformation." I believe he was prophesying to us today. You see, as we seek God's guidance and direction for this season or the days ahead, let us not fall prey to mystical gematria. That's the study of letters and all that. It's not about all that mysticism and Gnosticism. It's about seeking the revelation, the mind of God. But that we would indeed seek to understand the ways of God and hear His divine breath as we become disciples of the way of truth. I believe that this year is the year of the disciples. What does that mean? That means a consecration. It's a year of holy consecration of our hearts where God touches and we begin to understand how to reconnect and stay connected with the heart of Father. From our nefesh to our ruach to our neshama to our yakadah, to be Ikad with God, one with God in His presence. Where is He at? So that when He moves, we move. That we hear His voice in Walmart, wherever we are.
Amen.
See, God is a God of divine design, and everything resounds with the glory and the will of God. Even in the Hebrew language, God reveals to us His divine design already set in motion and spoken by His omnipotent prophetic providence. So here we are. We're entering into the year 2019. I believe one of the things God's going to begin to just shake up some of our presuppositions, some of our theology. You know, we just come through Christmas, and I've had folks say, "Well, wasn't Jesus born on December 25th?" Well, no. Well, he was actually, when was he born? He was born on the 15th of Tishri. Well, what does that mean? Well, that must mean he was born in 4 BC around October. Late October. He was technically born closer to Halloween than Christmas. Well, I'm sorry, that just really messed up your nice, neat, packaged little Christianity. My goodness, Pastor, I had all my little Christian holidays lined up.
Jesus.
You know how Hobby Lobby starts putting Christmas stuff out at Halloween?
Yes.
They're really closer to the truth than we are. See, but we hold fast to our traditions and our theologies. And how dare anybody tell me the truth? Well, that'll just mess up. That messes up the whole turkey dinner. We're entering into 2019. What does that mean? To understand, we must dig into the way God thinks and through His Holy Spirit, allow our hearts to be opened. The year is the year 5779. According to the Hebrew or the Jewish people. Let me just clarify. I'm sorry. There's just so many little things that we just get all goofed up. If you're from Arkansas, you're what? You're an Arkansan. If you're from Texas, you're a... If you're from Georgia, you're what? If you are from the land of Judah, Do you know what you were called? A Jew. Oh my gosh, that's deep theology right there, isn't it? It's that simple. Abraham wasn't a Jew. He was a Hebrew. You know what that means? It means to cross over to the other side. It means I was going this way and God got a hold of me and turned me around. And I crossed over from that which was wicked into that which is righteous. That's a Hebrew. It is derived different. How many of you have seen on YouTube or Facebook, there's a video going around that just, oh, every time I see it, it resurfaces. You know how some of that stuff gets recycled? It's kind of like demons do. Demons never die, they just recycle people. Okay? And there's some videos on Facebook like that. Amen? And you've seen people say, oh, that monster drink, it's got Vav. You're not supposed to be the monster's claws. Yeah. And this video said, oh no, that's the Hebrew 666, the mark of the beast. And every time I see that, I just want to bang my head on a wall. That is not even how you write 666 in Hebrew. That is not the mark of the beast, folks. So here's how we write the year 5779. It begins with the letter He. Then the Tav. And then the Shin. The Ayin. And then the Tate. Okay? That is how you write in the Hebrew 5,779. Now, here's how that works. Each Hebrew letter represents a number. So this is the year 5,000. Because this is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. From there we have the Tav, which is 400. And then the Shin, which is 300. And the 3 and the 400 together make the 700. Then you have the 70. The An is the 70. And the Tate is the 9. So it takes all five letters to have 5,779. Now we know everything God does is by design.
Amen.
Everything. And I'll tell you, the more I study the Hebrew, the more I see. I've had people say, well, Jesus, I don't see Jesus in the Old Testament. What are you talking about? He's everywhere. He's everywhere. From Genesis 1, let there be. And there He was. That's Yeshua. That's the very spoken Word of God. He was with Israel crossing the Red Sea. You look at it, it says that before they crossed, it says that the cloud of God was before them. It is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The Lord was with them. He was in front of them. But then the cloud moved behind them, and the cloud was the angel of the Lord. That is Yeshua. What was God doing? God was trying to reveal to Israel not just their deliverance on that day, but the deliverer that was coming to deliver them from all.
Right.
Deliver all of us. So let's break this down. Let's look at this. The He, which is 5,000. It's a symbol. Every Hebrew letter has a symbolic representation. It's a symbol of a man on his knees with his hands raised in worship. Amen? It means to behold and receive revelation by divine breath. It means to experience God through expression of God's light, through His Word, through His thought, through His action. It is to experience the revelation of God by giving oneself to another. Who does that sound like? It reflects holy leadership in submission to the sovereignty of God. Who does that sound like? It means to be broken and taken to seed. Who does that sound like? Jesus. In Genesis 47:23, he says, "Behold, I have this day bought you and your land for Pharaoh. Now here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land." It is believed that there is a small gap. You see this gap between right here, between the yod and the dalet that forms the hay. It is believed that this small gap between the yod and the dalet of the hay, through which is represents through that through which the light of Almighty God is always able to reach us, no matter how dark or bad things may seem. It's a window of repentance. And through it, we can see how to fulfill and to know and fulfill the will of God in our lives. In this we praise, in this we glorify, in this we prophesy and stand in silence in the presence of a holy God. The Tav, which is the 400, represents the truth eternal. It represents, it symbolizes a mark or a seal or an impression of the Creator on His creation. It represents the end or the last. This is what Jesus meant when He said, when it speaks of Jesus as the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the last. He's the Aleph and the Tav. From the very breath of God to the very end of all things as we know it. It represents the infinite presence in the finite world, the blessing of His favor, the generational inheritance from generation to generation. It represents the light of God returning to mankind. In Exodus 30, verse 16, it says, "It shall be as a mark on your hand or frontlets between your eyes. For by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt." In Revelation chapter 7, verse 3, we see the Tav again. It says, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." The Sheen. The Sheen is the 300. Represents the eternal flame. Come on, raise your hand. When you raise your hands in worship, you know what you form? A Sheen. Amen. You ever seen a menorah? The original menorah, not the menorah of the Maccabees, but the original menorah, light stand in the tabernacle, 7 candles, each represent, this is a whole other teaching, but represents the 7 days of creation. It represents the prophecy of Messiah. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, all of that. But what do you see in the menorah? 3 sheens, right? The eternal flame, again, as Jesus. Jesus was all in the tabernacle. The divine revelation, the unchanging God constantly at work in creation. He is the power of change, and nothing changes without His power. It represents the power of His love and the light that embodies the essence of His name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the I Am that I Am, the Lord of all, and Elohim, strength and power. The Sheen speaks of His grace. It speaks of His benevolence, His compassion, His mercy, and His favor. It speaks of the generational covenant of God that God made with the patriarchs of the faith. Together, the Sheen and the Aleph. This is interesting. The Sheen and the Aleph together in the Hebrew spell fire. It represents the inner flame bound to the wick, while the Aleph represents the breath. the Ruach HaKodesh that gives the flame life. Next we have the Ayin. The 70 means to see. It is to understand. It is to obey the divine providence of God Almighty. It represents that the eyes of God are always upon us, as He tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 11 through 12. He says, "But the land that you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven, a land that the Lord your God cares for. And the eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year." Come on, look at your neighbor and say, from the beginning to the end, the eyes of God are looking at you. The Tate is the nine. It is the concealed good of God. Everybody say, God is good.
God is good.
And all the time.
All the time.
And all the time.
All the time.
God is good. We don't even know what we're saying.
Jesus.
We think God's good like a new pair of shoes. You know what it means? God is good. God is good. When he created everything He created, He looked at it and He stepped back and He said, "It's good."
Amen.
Till He got to man, He said, "Oh." You know why He said it's not good, but everything else was good? Because man could not fully exhibit the full glory of God by himself. Come on, somebody get a revelation right there. You will never fulfill your destiny, your identity by yourself.
Jesus.
God said it is good when it glorified Him, when it represent His glory. That's why when Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory," God said, "I'm going to show you my goodness." You know what that means? God said, "I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to show you the very best of my nature." And so when God created, He said, He saw that it was good. It glorified. It was represented His glory, the very best of His nature. And then He said, watch this. What did He do with it? He blessed it. Barak, blessing. He spoke blessing. You know what happened? He activated the life cycle. He activated life. When He blessed it, it began to procreate. But when He come to man, He said, "It ain't good. It can't reproduce my glory." And so He took Ish and put Ish in a deep sleep. And He took from him a portion of the Ruach HaKodesh, the breath of God. Not a rib. Some people, "Well, you know, men have one less rib." No, they don't. It's not medically true. He took a portion of the breath of God, the nature of God, and He created Ishaha. A double portion of the Hey. Hey. Two times the breath. That's why women live longer. That and we do stupid things, right, men? Like put a ladder on a ladder on a ladder on a ladder to climb and change the light bulb. Without turning the breaker off? Yeah. You've been there. You've done that, have you?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought I was the only one. And so he brought Ishaha to him, and he said, "She shall be called Eve," which means life. Because she is flesh of my nephesh of my nephesh. And God blessed it. He said, "Now bless, go forth and multiply." And watch this. Did they do that? Nope. Cain done come along till chapter 3. Till after the serpent has done come in. And then the Nakosh has already beguiled them. And they've already rebelled against God. And birth, you know what they birth? They birth humanism. So I just ask you, what were they doing all that time? If they weren't procreating, they were perverting. This is where the taint come in. The concealed good of God. You know, folks say, well, what is evil? Did God create evil? No. Evil is the absence of good. What's this? It represents the conception between a bride and a groom. It represents the 9 months of pregnancy process ready to give birth. The goodness of God is revealed to us through the Torah, the Word of God, the womb of all that exists by His spoken Word, the very best of the nature of God. God said, I'm going to show you, Moses, the very best of my nature. My goodness. See, God isn't just good. Good isn't just something He does. He is good. It's not just a byproduct of something He says or does. He is good. There is no good except God. This again, Moses says, show me your goodness. The word good in the Hebrew is tob, or reflected the very essence of His glory. That's why God chose you and I to send the Holy Spirit to be born again of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Why? So that we may be glory, that we may glorify Him, move from glory unto glory. Amen. 1 Kings. In this we see the staff and the power to judge and administer judgment in perfect justice. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 9. Give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil what is able to govern this your greater people. See, we're entering into the 70th anniversary of the modern state of Israel. As promised by God, there will be a release of God's grace and favor for those who stand with Israel, even though she be made an offense to many. How many of you know that's what's happening in our nation, in the earth right now? She's an offense. But let me tell you something. God is moving. Come on, just not many weeks ago, I was able to preach to 400 Muslims who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through Skype, they were all sitting in the dirt, in the dark, in Pakistan. And they had torches, and now you could hear the generator. And they were all sitting in the dirt, listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time. Jesus. And 107 said prayed with me and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus. 107 Muslims. God's moving. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 2 through 3. He says, I will make Jerusalem a stone of offense. Jerusalem has become a stumbling block to many people and nations. You are either with her or against her. And the moving of the capital of Jerusalem was more than a historical event. It was a prophetic event. And it had nothing to do with the political party. It had nothing to do with this president, this Congress, that Congress. You know what it had to do with? The sovereignty of God. It was a prophetic event by the divine hand of God. It was more than an act of the natural. You know what I believe it was? This move, this prophetic move or declaration of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. You know what? It was more than what was happening in the natural. I believe it was a supernatural call from the throne of God to His people. A dividing line has been drawn in both the natural and the supernatural. Will you stand with those who are offended at God? And let me tell you something. A large part of our nation is offended at God. A lot of the church is offended at God. There's pastors in pulpits that are offended at God. But a line has been drawn. Will you stand with those who are offended at God, or will you stand with the God who offends the unrighteous? Come on, it's a challenge not only to your politics and your moral values, it's a challenge to your theology. Each will be confronted with the revelation of the cross and the Christ who hung on it. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10 said this, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication, and they will look on me whom they have pierced." See, while some curse God, others will draw on the grace and the favor as they pursue Him with deeper sincerity and fervency of heart. There's a shift happening that will usher in a great harvest among the nations and the persecuted. Right now, China is being persecuted. The Christians there, the leader, this new leader has declared he's going to stop that underground church. But better men than him have tried. Come on. Better men than him have tried. It is the year 5779 or 2019, and the Tate speaks volume. It speaks volumes from God to us either way you look at it. 2019 or 5779, however you want to look at it, God's still speaking the same thing. Tate, it's the first time. The first time it is used is in Genesis chapter 1 verse 4, where God looks upon His creation of light, sees that it is good, and then separates the good from the dark. Are you hearing me? Shut up, Akanda. Somebody get a revelation. The first time it's used is when God separates the light from the dark. Here we are again. What do you think God's doing? I ain't got to give you a prophecy. You just read between the lines. So the Hebrew letter Tate has connotations of goodness. Listen to this. But written in its classical Hebrew script, here's the classical Hebrew script. In the classical Hebrew script, it resembles the appearance of a coiled snake. A snake ready to strike. A nakosh or a serpent. A deceiver. Darkness. Evil. Or that which is void of good. The godless who perceive to be born of God. It speaks of a battle that rages between the natural and the supernatural, between the heavens and the earth, and within the souls of men. There's a battle. Folks, we're in a battle. And the battle's real. So who are we? We were called to be disciples. Disciples fight spiritual battles. Not followers, not spectators, not the crowd. Disciples fight spiritual battles. Disciples changed nations. Who did He give the keys to the kingdom of God to? Just any follower in the crowd? You look pretty sharp. Disciples. Those who are consecrated, those who have paid a price. And let me tell you something, what we've done. I believe God's going to begin to pour out upon the body of Christ the true model of discipleship. See, here's the way discipleship has worked in the church all the way to now. You come sit in my service and you hear me preach and let me espouse my commentary and all that I have studied, and you listen to it, and then hopefully, maybe, you go out and experience it. And that's the model of the church, hasn't it been? You come to Sunday school, you come to my class, to this class, to that class. We come and we meet over some coffee and we do some Bible study. We maybe even dig into some Hebrew words so we feel like, you know, we really done something. And then, hopefully you go out and experience it. But that's not the way Jesus did it. Jesus said, come here. Go cast out that devil. What?
Yes, sir.
Well, you saw me do it yesterday. Go cast that devil out. And then I'll teach you how to do what you realize you can't do without me. I'll teach you that you don't know what you think you know.
Jesus.
With all your theology and your doctrines. And then maybe I can make a disciple out of you. Then maybe the Holy Spirit can really do something through you. Then I can do something I've never done before.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And we've got generations who've never truly encountered the Holy Ghost. Anybody in here under the age of 20 who've ever watched legs grow out, crippled people be healed right here? Anywhere? Anybody? Anybody under 40? Ever watched demons be cast out? Ever cast out a demon? Amen? There should be lots of you because there's lots of demons in the church. Wow. We are disciples. We who are disciples of Yeshua must understand that the battle is real. The battle's not just in the natural Jerusalem, but it rages all around us, within our hearts and in the souls of men. The battle is evident when people are confused about the image of God. We're in a battle! Folks don't even know the gender. Your plumbing is your prophecy. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Folks don't even know. The battle's raging. When people are confused about the person of God, when they're confused about the will of God, the word and the way of God, the battle rages when Christians are being martyred for the name of Christ all around us. The battle rages when your flesh overtakes you and you succumb to temptation. The battle rages when your children stray from God or you speak down to your spouse. The battle's raging. False prophets will come out of the woodworks. False doctrines of deception will be propagated by the spirit of the Antichrist like never before. A great falling away will take place as evil, wickedness, and darkness come to a maturity. But know that the light grows even stronger, and even greater harvest of the light shall overtake the darkness. John chapter 1 verse 5 says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Prophesy it. Don't just read it, prophesy it. Let the same Holy Ghost that was in John be in you. John chapter 12 verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Luke 1:79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's what we're called to do. John 8:12, again Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 12:46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So through all of this, what is the Spirit of the Lord saying about 2019? It is the year by which a line has been drawn.
Amen.
Will you blend in among those offended by righteousness, or will you stand and follow Him and be the light? How long will you call yourself His, yet continue to call evil good and good evil and play the righteous? The eyes of the Lord are upon us, and they are not far from us. Will we live as a repentant people in the divine revelation of the Christ? Which will be the stronger, our compromise or our conviction? Which will be stronger, our politics or His promises? His purpose and presence or our pursuit of material possessions? Will the world see within us the Spirit of Christ or the serpent of our own deception? Are you a seed in the hands of God, ready to be planted and bear the fruit of righteousness? Or are you a thorn in His brow, continually drawing blood by your disobedience? Whose mark do you bear? His or the world's? What is the fire that kindles your faith? Is it fire that burns with the breath of the Holy Spirit of life? Or do strange fires by coals of the doctrines of men and self-righteous pride burn at the wick of your faith? This is the year of the one who bears the mark of Christ deep within his being. This is the year of the one who follows Christ close and not from afar. This is the year that the Spirit of God will pour out favor and grace to those who stand as disciples, refusing to take the mark of cultural compromise. Will you be a disciple or a castaway? Again, Christ did not give the keys to the kingdom of God to spectators or occasional participators. He didn't give it to cultural manipulators or religious commentators. He gave it to disciples. And this is the year of consecrated followers of Jesus Christ. If you've walked the fence, you can't walk it anymore. If you've been procrastinating your destiny, don't procrastinate it anymore. You've been saying, well, when I get this right and that right, then God, I will be obedient. Then I will serve you. No, get rid of the idols now. Don't be caught with them. This is the year God has not only given the keys to the kingdom to disciples, but what those keys unlock shall operate through them and shake the nations, revealing the glory of God to the earth. See, the year of the disciple shall be filled with an outpouring of the Spirit of grace and power, unleashing what I believe I heard God say. God is unleashing monumental manifestation. Say that with me. Monumental manifestation. You know what that means? A monument is something for generations to remember and to see what God did. God is going to do things in this hour, in this year, in this nation, in this people. It will be monumental. Monumental manifestations. Hallelujah. Of the glory of God. For generations to experience what generations past has experienced and then some. This is the year of the disciple. You want God to do what He's never done before? Come on. This is the year. This is the year. This is the year. But you got to embrace the process. You know how God spells disciple? P-R-O-C-E-S-S. Process. Look at your neighbor and say, and there's pain in the process. You see, being a disciple was nothing new in Jesus' day. Jesus didn't invent discipleship. See, do you realize that most Jewish young boys, by the time they were 12, had memorized the Torah? Word for word? You can't memorize three scriptures. And you didn't just come up to any rabbi and say, I want to be your disciple. I think you're pretty cool. I think you got a good word. I like your style. No. You came and you had to prove yourself. You had to prove yourself. And Jesus goes up to Peter and them, all those that he said, come and follow me. You know what they were? They were rejected. They weren't disciples. They had been rejected. Maybe they missed some words in the Torah. Maybe they couldn't even spell Torah. But Jesus took them and see, Jesus didn't invent discipleship. He perfected it. Jesus taught them the way of true discipleship was death. The way of true discipleship was death. It was submission. It was sacrifice. It was selflessness. It was an intimacy with God like they had never seen from any rabbi before. We want God to do what He's never done before. You know what 5779 says to me when God said it's the year of the disciple? It's the year that somebody got to die.
Jesus.
That the church has got to die. We read it in Joshua 23. But cleave unto the Lord. Love Him. Cleave unto Him. Don't let it go. And don't let anything come in between you and Him.
Jesus.
Don't let anything redefine this love. Don't love Him with your religion. Don't love Him just with your worship. God's not moved by great numbers and great worship. He's moved by unity of the Spirit of Christ. Stand with me if you will. God, I want you to do what you have never done. I believe there's a divine prophetic purpose that God has brought us together here tonight. I believe that. I believe there is a divine prophetic purpose. I believe that wherever I go, there God is. I believe I'm like the prophet Samuel. When he showed up at Jesse's house, he didn't have to call for this worship team and hope they sing the right song. Wherever he was, there the Spirit of God was. By nature of his sovereign assignment. Folks, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying right now, says the Lord God, I am calling you, says the Lord, to process. I'm calling you to do process, says the Lord. And I will take my church in this year. You'll go through a process you want me to do like I've never done before. I'm going to take you somewhere you've never been. I'm going to take you through a process. I'm going to take you through a process so that I can prepare you and posture you and position you for my presence like you've never seen. Because the world has not seen my presence. Come on, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, come on, they've seen more of Jesus on Facebook and Hobby Lobby at Christmas than they've seen in the church. It's time they see the Holy Ghost. It's time they see the Holy Ghost in you, says the Lord. Where is my Holy Spirit? Who told you to shut your mouth? Who told you to shut your mouth in the workplace? Who told you to agree with this culture? Consecrate thyself before me, says the Lord God. Make ready a holy people, says the Lord. Say unto yourself, look in your mirror every day and say, Lord, make me yours. Let your mark be evident upon my life. Come on, Father, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying right now, God is releasing, activating sovereign assignment. That's what discipleship means. It's the way of death. It is the way of process. Jesus took discipleship in his day and turned it upside down. You know why? Because that's how he was going to take 12 men and turn the world upside down. If they had been disciples of any other rabbi, we wouldn't be here today. You understand that? But they were disciples of Yeshua, and Yeshua is calling to you today. Will you be my disciple? That the same anointing, the same Holy Spirit that was in Peter, that healed the sick when he just walked by. Didn't even have to lay hands on them. Man, we spend 30 minutes laying hands on somebody. Peter just walked in the room and they were healed. Paul just walked in the rooms and the demon said, ah! Well, I'm not sure I want that. Well, it wasn't a suggestion, folks. I'm not sure I want that level of accountability and responsibility in my life. I'm sorry, that's the only form of Jesus I know. And this thing we've been playing in the church, sitting in the pews, content and complacent with this great, wonderful experience we had in worship or through some sermon, and we got a prophetic word and he told me my license plate. Big deal. Where's the anointing? Where's the anointing? Where's the anointing in your life? I know where it is in my life. You're here because you were like Peter and all the rest of them. You were all rejected disciples. None of us qualified. None of you can quote the whole Torah. None of you can even name all the feasts. Maybe some of you, two of you. But he took those 12. And he made disciples. He gave to them sovereign assignment by the power of the Holy Ghost. How many of you want that today? Who wants that today? Come on right now. Come on, lift your hands to Holy Spirit right now. Come on, somebody move this board for me. Come on, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, worship team. Come on. Father, right now, let's just press in right now. Come on, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying right now, come on in your churches, pastors, right now, God's going to begin to open the spirit of Talmudim unto you, the spirit of the disciple. Jesus, the mind of Christ, is going to come in and totally reshape and mold the way you do church, the way you build leaders, the way you raise up men and women of God in your house, The Lord said, I'm going to unleash. This is the year of the disciple. And to those I have called to be shepherds, says the Lord God, I shall reveal the Talmudima to thee, the process of discipleship, the Havarim, says the Lord God, the way of study into the way, into the heart, into the very mind of God. Get ready. God's about to unleash a vision, a new model. You're going to get what God can do in 20 years, He's going to do in 2 years. Come on, He's been speaking that already. What normally would take 20 years in your church, God's going to do in 2. God's going to do it in 2. Sovereign assignment right now. Come on, God is unleashing sovereign assignments right now. Till right now, there's a sovereign assignment. Come on, in this house. I put you here on purpose. Oh, you started one place, but I put you where I called you. There's a new anointing God's about to release. Come on, Pastor Belinda. There's the apostolic is about to be released in this house like never before. Come on, God's going to give divine insight into order like never before. You're going to see order. You're going to see process in everything. And it's not going to be mundane process. It's not going to be burdensome process. It's going to be process that equips, prepares, that tears off, breaks down. Process that builds up, equips. And I see other apostles being discipled in this house and being sent forth. I see prophets being raised up in this house. Evangelists going even to the nations. I hear the Lord say He's going to begin to open the nations to you into this house. Do it, Father. Do it, Father. Now, y'all together? Amen. Y'all go pastor a church, right? You're not pastoring now.
I'm on an apostolic.
More of an apostolic role, okay? Amen. I hear the Lord say that this next season, this year, says the Lord God, I see many sons and daughters. I see a school of prophets. I see a school of pastors. I see a school of evangelists. I see a school of teachers. I see it not just in one state, but in many states. I see it reaching even to the nations, says the Lord God. Reach it even to the nations. I see curriculum being developed. Curriculum that will impact generations and generations even yet to come, says the Lord God. And it will do more than equipping, but they will experience firsthand the supernatural hand of God. So there's a new anointing. There's a new mantle that God is about to release upon the both of you right now. Signs and wonders are going to come not only through your hands, but through the hands of those that you have equipped, says the Lord. You shall watch your sons and daughters heal the sick, raise the dead. You shall see your sons and daughters that God have caused you to raise up to touch the nations, says the Lord. Do it, God. Do it, God. Come on, Shandaria Tarabasa, 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 Tarabasa. I just say, do you have a biological son?
Yes.
Come on, is he walking in his destiny? Okay, God finna get a hold of him. God is going to call him to his purpose. He is going to be captured, arrested by his destiny. He's going to be arrested by his destiny. He's going to be arrested by his destiny. Do it, God. Do it, God. Come on, come on, that's you today. You say, Lord, I want to walk in my sovereign assignment. I want to be a disciple. You're here today. You say, Lord, I want true discipleship in my life. I want to walk in my destiny. I want to pay the price. I want to enter into the process. I want to be a disciple. Make me a disciple, God. If that's you, come on, get down here this night. Get down here. Come on, tell him right now by an act of faith. Tell him, God, make me a disciple. Come on. Come on, tell him right now. You wanna walk in. You wanna see God do what He's never done before in you. Come on down here right now. A daughter, you got a daughter? There's a daughter God's in the touch right now. I don't know where she's at, what's doing, but there's a mess she's, but God's about to uncover it all, expose it all, and deal with her heart right now in the name of Jesus. God said, I've heard your prayers, I've heard your cries. And there's been so many times you feel like you're alone and you don't fit here, you don't fit there. But the anointing of God shall break every yoke, says the Lord God. And tonight, I release some sovereign assignment. Sovereign assignment. I activate the sovereign assignment of God. Get him, God. Father, right now, activate the sovereign assignment, the anointing of God. Right now, break every yoke. Come on, hear the Lord say, prophesy your promise. Prophesy the promise. Prophesy the promise. Come on, Father, activate the sovereign assignment of God right now in this house to bring forth the harvest. Bring forth the harvest to go in and bring those broken-hearted daughters into the kingdom. Right now, do it, God. Do it, God, right now in the name of Jesus. Activate sovereign assignment. Every assignment of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the sovereign assignment captivate it right now in the name of Jesus.